Good morning, Lord. Where are we today? Oh, Psalm 23, one of my favorites. The Lord is my shepherd. God, thank you for this relationship. I shall not be in want. Lord, thank you for supplying my needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sounds like I get to take a nap. Thank you for providing me with rest. He leads me beside quiet waters. Lord, thank you for refreshing me. He restores my soul. God, thank you for healing me. He guides me in paths of righteousness. God, thank you for providing your word as a guide in my life. For his name's sake. Lord, thank you for providing a purpose and a direction for my life. Wow. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, you know just how much testing is right for me. I will fear no evil. That's hard, God. But thank you for your protection. For you are with me. I guess there's my answer. Thank you for being with me, Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, Lord, that one hurts a little bit. But thank you for discipline when I need it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, thank you for being my protector. And you anoint my head with oil. Lord, thank you for anointing me. My cup overflows. Thank you, Lord, for your abundant blessings. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for all of your continual blessings you give to me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank you for your presence, now and for eternity. Amen. Guess I better go. It's time for church.
I recently read an old story about a couple of hikers who were hiking in the Welsh mountains in Wales, and they came upon a young shepherd, a young man that was there, and he was watching sheep. They talked about lots of things, and eventually the conversation turned to Psalm 23. And they shared with them a little physical, visible object lesson for this young man to remember while he was out in the field. And they took the first five words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And they began to explain the. Boy, that's something that you want to cling to in your life. The Lord. His grace and his guidance are what provide for us as he points the direction in our life. The Lord is the third finger. It's our largest finger. And the word is absolutely essential. He's not the Lord who was our shepherd or the Lord who will be our shepherd, but in the eternal present, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my. What do you wear on the finger of this hand? What do you wear on this finger is your ring. My. It pictures a relationship, an exclusive and personal relationship. My shepherd. As you come to the end of your hand, the word shepherd. As you come to the end of your hour, as you come to the end of your day, the end of your week, the end of your month, the end of your year, the end of your life, He is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's where we begin today on our journey for the next few weeks through Psalm 23, looking at that first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. So take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 23 this morning. And we're going to look at that first verse. It's on page 315 if you have a pew Bible there in front of you. And we're going to just stop at the first verse today. Bree went through the whole verse, the whole chapter, and so we're just going to stop at that first verse. Psalm 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And with that, let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would take these next moments, God, and that you would speak to us and move in our hearts and lives, and God, that you would challenge us and change us. Remind us, Lord, of who we are, sheep. Remind us of who you are, the shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to Psalm 23, one theologian called this the pearl of the Psalms. This is indeed a highlight, and for many of us, it is a favorite psalm that we cling to as we face the challenges and difficulties and the trials and the joys of our life. Now, we get the motif as it is laid out for us. The Lord is a shepherd, which leads us to the point that we are pictured as sheep. Now, a sheep, as we think about sheep in Scripture and sheep in life, it really is an unflattering picture. In Scripture, we see pictures of sheep. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We see in Luke 15 the story of the one who had 100 sheep and he lost one. And that sheep would have been so defenseless and helpless out there that he had to go look for it because it wasn't smart enough to find its way back. It's the picture there laid out for us in Isaiah 53 and Luke chapter 15. In 1 Samuel 17, David, as he is getting ready to fight Goliath, talks about the times when he was out as a shepherd boy and the lion and the bear came toward him and he would take his slingshot and be able to fight off the lion and the bear. He had to do that because sheep weren't known for being intimidating animals. Sheep don't have a growl. Sheep can't run quickly. Sheep are often clueless to danger that swirls around them. They are uneasy, anxious animals that are prone to just carelessly wander, that they just kind of lose track of what's going on as they get focused on eating or focused on moving in their direction, and they lose track of the shepherd altogether. There's a debate on when this psalm was composed. Obviously, we know it was a psalm of David, but when did he write it? Some believe that he wrote it when he was a young man, as a shepherd, looking out over those flocks and saying, man, you know, just like I lead these sheep, the Lord leads me. But others myself included, believe that this psalm was probably composed much later in David's life. As he, in the reflective years, would look back at his life, seeing all the hills and the valleys, seeing all the trials and the victories, and look back and say, wow, though there were times that I was faithless, the Lord was always faithful. Though there were times I blew it, the Lord was always a good shepherd and bringing me back to himself. Haddon Robinson said it probably better than I ever could. He said David at this point was a mature man, filled with his share of conflicting passions and confusing problems that confront any human being. Not only was he the heroic slayer of Goliath, the devoted friend of Jonathan, lover of music, and able king, but he was also, remember his life, he was also a haggard fugitive, an adulterer, a murderer. As a father, he watched his baby die and had wept when his ungrateful son, Absalom, was slain as he led a rebellion against his father. David has not left us with only beautiful thoughts, but with an honest testimony about God learned while living life to the hilt. You look at David's life. Oh, there were great moments. High fives surrounding the joy of defeating Goliath and extreme lows when he was on the run from Saul. There were great moments of victory as the ark would be carried in and he would dance and leap before the Lord. And horrific moments when instead of going to battle, he would send someone for Bathsheba. But through it all, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know where you are today and what's going on in your life. Some of you can look back and reflect on all the things that have happened throughout your life, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly. And as you look, you see the fingerprints of providence have brought you here today. That though there were times that you got off course, the Lord has drawn you back. That though there were times that you blew it, he was merciful and forgiving. And though there were times that you thought you were on that mountaintop, it didn't take but a few minutes or a few hours or a few days or a few weeks to realize that you were journeying through that valley again. But knowing, I don't have to face this step, this trial, this temptation, this financial crisis, this personal conflict, this surgery alone. The Lord is my shepherd. This morning, I want to throw some challenges to you as we think about this opening phrase of this opening pearl of a chapter. The Lord is my shepherd. As we think about the Lord as my shepherd, first off, we really need to come to a place where we know the heart of the shepherd. We know the heart of the Lord in our life. Notice what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. The picture is that it is the Lord. The word there that is used is the name Jehovah or the name Yahweh. It trails back to Exodus chapter 3 where Moses stands before the burning bush and the Lord declares, I am. It goes back to picture God's self-existence and self-sufficiency. But it pictures more than that because Yahweh was the covenant name. So the challenge for us is to know his intimate name. This is the covenant name of God that he has given to us, his people. It's his covenant name. Know his name. He is the Lord. If you look in your Bible, most of the time, the word Lord, as it is used here, is in all caps. The Lord, L-O-R-D. That's that name. 5,321 times it is used in your Bible, and it reminds us of God's self-sufficiency, of God's self-existence, but it reminds us of God's covenant. It is his intimate name. Know his intimate name. And this name is teamed with other pictures of God throughout Scripture. So that the name Jehovah was a specific name that was used to share and show the awe and the intimacy of this awesome God. As scribes would transcribe the Old Testament, and they would come to this name Yahweh or Jehovah, the word Lord, they would always stop. They would take a moment and ceremonially cleanse themselves. They would always use a new pen to write that name. It was so revered. It was so awesome, yet so intimate. The Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, is my shepherd. As we look at how that name is used throughout the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 22, in verse number 14, as Abraham would be taking Isaac up Mount Moriah, and at that moment when he raised the knife and the Lord would provide a ram, he would call his name Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. When the children of Israel would leave Egypt and they would walk in and they would come to a place called Marah where the water was bitter, in Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 26, Moses was commanded that to throw a stick into the water, and the water became pure, and his name was Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. In Exodus 17:15, when Moses is on the hill and Aaron and Hur are on either side and Joshua is fighting the Amalekites, his name is called Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, and he leads Israel to victory on that day. His name is Jehovah. In Judges chapter 6 and verse number 24, as Gideon was hiding, the Lord would show up and declare, his name is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Here, Psalm 23, Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 6. His name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And I love Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse number 35. As we come to the end of the book of Ezekiel, his name is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Listen. Behind the Lord as our shepherd, we find that that Jehovah name shows that he is our provider, our healer. He is our banner. He is our shepherd. He is our peace. He is our righteousness. And friends, he's here. He dwells with his people. He declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that I will dwell among them and live in them, and I will be their God and they will be my people. He is not only a shepherd that leads us from the outside, but he's one who lives on the inside. Know his intimate name, the Lord. But now let's go to the last word, shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Know his intimate care. Know his intimate care. As a shepherd, he is one who cares. He is one who shows and leads and guides and protects in love. In John chapter 10, Jesus compares, beginning in verse number 12 and following, the hireling and the shepherd. And he says that when the wolf comes, man, or there's some dangerous activity, the hireling, one who's just hired but doesn't care about the sheep, he flees. He abandons the sheep because he's worried about protecting himself. And yet what we find here, the Lord is my shepherd, shows his infinite care in our life. Do you know why Scripture says that the Lord has the numbers of hairs on your head numbered? Because if God would care about something as unimportant as that, don't you think he's going to care about the important things of your life? His intimate care. His infinite love. So that in Jeremiah 31, he would say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. There's nothing a sheep can do once he has come into the Lord's family that would bring the shepherd to not love him or to disown him. Jesus makes that clear in John 10, 27 through 30. The sheep experience his everlasting love and care. Paul put it this way in Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If you're a sheep, you're loved today. You're loved by a shepherd who never has a bad day, who never has emotional ups and downs, who never is too tired, who never is too busy. He cares for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. We know the heart of the shepherd. Secondly, we have to trust the faithfulness of the shepherd. Notice what it says. The Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. Think about that word is. Because the word is reminds us that we share in a present relationship. He, again, did not say that he will be or that he was. It points to the present. The Lord is, so that he is right now. And I know that when I take my steps tomorrow or the Lord calls me home tomorrow, he still is and will be my shepherd. It's a present relationship. It's a relationship that only fluctuates when I, as a sheep, begin to move in a direction away from him. His love for me never changes. Oh, I can get sidetracked. And he draws me back because he is my shepherd. Have you thought about the is passages of Scripture? The is passages. The Lord is my shepherd. Exodus chapter 15. The Lord is my strength and my song. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 2. Psalm 18 and verse number 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God in whom I will trust. The Lord is. Psalm 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 100 verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The is passages of Scripture. We live in the is moment. He is our shepherd. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. He is our strength and our song. He is our light and our salvation. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He's good. He's good. He always is good. There can never be a moment when he is not good. He is good. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9 as we move to the New Testament. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:25, God is stronger. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8, God is able. He's able. We look at 1 John 4:8, God is love. But friend, let me tell you, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31, that ought to get your fire started this morning. Because the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us today. He is. He is. He is. It's the is passages that remind us that we are in a present relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. It is ongoing. It never falters, never fails. He never slows down. He never loses touch. He's always there. He's always perfect. He always watches over me. The Lord is. We share in a present relationship, but we share in a personal relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a personal relationship. I'm taking personal ownership here. He did not say, in a nebulous fashion, the Lord is a shepherd. He's just one among many. You have one, I have one, we all have one. He's a shepherd. He didn't say that. He didn't say, the Lord is the shepherd, and just kind of leave it open-ended. He did not say, the Lord is our shepherd, which gives the picture that there's a whole crowd. Instead, David drove it home personally and applied it personally. The Lord is my shepherd. My. That picture of a relationship, that picture of love, that picture of his devotion. That picture that I have a part in a relationship with him and he has a relationship with me. He is my shepherd. When we claim that the Lord is my shepherd, understand what we claim. Many want to live how they want, and when the moment of trial, the moment of difficulty comes, they want to just grab onto Psalm 23 like it is some kind of lucky charm. When we declare the Lord is my shepherd, this is what we're declaring. He's the shepherd. He owns me. He calls the shots. He makes the decisions. He leads. He guides. He directs. I follow. I say yes. I am a sheep. I own nothing. I have no rights except to say, he's my shepherd. The only thing I possess is him. Many want to live how they want and then claim the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 10, verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and listen what he says, and they follow me. There are many who are claiming to know the shepherd. I want to put it this way. It's a whole lot more important for the shepherd to know you. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's a personal relationship. If you are trusting in a church attendance and church membership to claim the Lord is my shepherd, friend, you are sadly mistaken. If you're looking to opening your Bible and reading it, and saying, because I read my Bible, or I came and opened my Bible on Christmas and read the Christmas story to my family, or I read a resurrection account on Easter, friend, you're sadly mistaken. To think I'm a sheep because I've come into this building, or my dad was a pastor, or a deacon, or a teacher, or sang in the choir, or was a musician, Friend, you're sadly mistaken. He doesn't say, our shepherd, that I can get in on my parents' coattails. He's my shepherd, and I have to come to a personal relationship with him, which leads us to our third point on how we can do that. Thirdly, we recognize Jesus as the shepherd. We recognize Jesus as the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. We've taken those verses. And yet in the New Testament, as we look at the pictures of the shepherd, we find unmistakably the picture of the Lord Jesus. Isn't it amazing how the Lord in the Old Testament, Jehovah God, shows himself to be the shepherd. And in the New Testament, Jesus walks in humanity, the incarnation, as God steps into a body and shows us everything a shepherd should do and be, so that Jesus is our shepherd. As we think about Jesus the shepherd, there are three descriptions of Jesus as the shepherd in the New Testament. First off, Jesus is the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. He's the good shepherd dying for the sheep. John chapter 10 in verse number 11, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Here's the challenge. I shared earlier at the very beginning, Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. That means all of us at some time or another have chosen our way above God's way, our will above God's will. And through that process, we strayed away from the perfect plan God had for us, and it's called sin. We don't like to talk about it too much today, but it is what it is. And when we overstep the boundary that God has placed before us, it is sin. It is wrong. It is wrong in God's eyes. It breaks his moral law for us. If there's ever a time that we have thought something, said something, done something that displeased God, then we missed his perfect mark. And the Bible says all of us have done that. And all of us, like sheep, we've gone astray. So here's what happened. Because we were straying and there was no way for us to get back to God on our own, there was no way that we could earn, merit, deserve, gain favor with God on our own to earn our way back. We only deserve punishment. What God did was he stepped into humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus lived a perfect life, and he died a sacrificial death on the cross for our sin, to take our punishment. And he rose again from the dead. And now he offers us the free gift of forgiveness, eternal life, and will welcome us into his family as a son and as a sheep when we say and recognize, Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I've gone astray. Father, I am sorry for that sin. Would you forgive me? I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin and rose again. Jesus, I need you to forgive me and to be in my life. Jesus died for that reason. He is the good shepherd, John 10, 11. But if you have your Bibles, look over with me in Hebrews chapter 13, because this passage is not as well known as the other in John chapter 10. And I want you to look at this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. Here we get the picture that Jesus is the great shepherd living for the sheep. Now notice Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20, what it says. Hebrews 13, 20. And keep your finger there because we're going to turn to the right in just a minute as well. Hebrews 13, 20 says, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd, notice Jesus is called the great shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. What's the great shepherd going to do? He is going to make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. What is the work of Jesus in our life now? Just as we look at Jesus, the good shepherd, dying for the sheep so we could experience salvation, Jesus, the great shepherd, is living in us, living through us, living for us, for our sanctification, so that, as verse number 21 says, that we will be complete, that we'll be perfect, that we'll be mature in every good work to do His will. God says, look, I'm not going to leave you out there as a sheep who's come into my family and now you're on your own. Instead, Jesus, the great shepherd, is going to live in your life through the person of the Holy Spirit, and He's going to lead you to do my will perfectly and completely. And He's going to give you the power and the guidance and the direction to do it. That's the joy of the Christian walk. Is Jesus, that great shepherd, leading us to do God's will for our life? But there's one other picture. If you're in Hebrews 13, turn to the right just a little further, past the book of James into the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because the third picture that we see of Jesus as the shepherd, He's the good shepherd dying for the sheep. He's the great shepherd living for the sheep. But notice 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. 1 Peter 5, 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Jesus is the chief shepherd coming or returning for His sheep. The picture is that Jesus is going to come, and He's described as the chief shepherd who's going to appear. He's coming back for us. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you known and experienced Him as the good shepherd? Have you received Him in your life? Is He working in your life as the great shepherd who's guiding you to do His will? Do you know you're ready if the chief shepherd shows up today? The Lord is my shepherd. A couple hikers were telling that young shepherd boy in Wales, the Welsh mountains, little sheep herder, about that, the Lord is my shepherd, that emphatic beginning, that one who points our life with grace, the one who is, the one who's my, the one who's the shepherd, the end of our hour, day, week, month, year, life. He's our shepherd. They came back the next year, as the story goes, and as they were hiking through those mountains again, they found a little place to have a sit down and a cup of tea. They found a place and they sat down, and there on the table was a picture of this young shepherd that they had met the year before. They inquired, hey, who is this guy? We met him last year. He was a shepherd. And one began to unfold the story. A storm blew in. A terrible snowstorm blew in. He apparently, in leading and guiding, lost his footing, went over a cliff, and landed. We know he survived for a short period of time, and then he died. But as his mother, who was waiting on them, exclaimed, when they found him, he was holding on to his ring finger. And we never have understood what was going on. And the two men explained, the Lord is my shepherd. And at that moment of crisis in his life, he held on to that truth. He's my shepherd. There is a personal, genuine relationship I have with him. Listen, whether we go to meet him or the chief shepherd returns for us, understand, if you do not know Jesus Christ personally, you can be in church. You can be a church member, a church attender, a church giver, tither. You could do all of those things. But Jesus said, it's my sheep who receive eternal life, and they'll never perish. Do you know that you know Jesus? If you're a believer today, I want to challenge you with this thought. You may not like where you are right now and what's going on. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how God guides us. And sometimes we walk through valleys that are very difficult and uncomfortable. But we must remember who the shepherd is and who we, the sheep, are. We own, possess nothing. We desire no vision, no direction, no provision, but His. He is our shepherd. So I want to challenge you today. Maybe you look around you, you look in you, you look about you, and you think, I want to tell you, look up. You have a shepherd who's calling you to Himself today. And maybe using this very moment in your life to draw you to Him and draw you away from other things that can distract. Do you know Him? Are you following and listening to Him today?